kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Give me the Placid Dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat! But I got one! Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Good evening, everybody. I am part of the hosting crew of the Monday Night Kickoff Show. Along with me, joining me as always, is Mr. Alan Ryland. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's up, man?
Chilling, brother, chilling. Just another beautiful Monday night here in Central Florida. Just got home, literally, like just walked in the door from delivering a Hobie Outback to a gentleman here in Brevard. So that was cool. Wasn't sure I was going to make it home on time. I know I gave you a shout there asking you to hold down the fort if I didn't make it back in time, but here we are. So did you have a good Father's Day?
I did. I had a great Father's Day. I was able to get out of the water for a little bit and got in trouble for my daughter for not being there when she got up, but I won't do that again. May have to celebrate on Saturday next year, but it was good. How about you?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. I kind of celebrated Father's Day this last weekend. Like the entire weekend was basically Father's Day weekend for me. So it was awesome. Friday, I got to go out and fish at night with a couple of the guys from Space Coast Kayak Anglers out there in Port Canaveral. We'll get to that a little bit later. Found out some interesting tidbits from the local municipality out there who filled us in on some new rules and regulations for fishing Port Canaveral at night that we need to all abide by if we plan on fishing out there at night. But and then Saturday did the island thing. Just had the neighbors come out and go kayaking really for their first time kayaking out into the saltwater, and got them hooked. Spent the afternoon on the island, just kind of hung out, and then Sunday just kind of did the fatherly thing, sat around the house, watched movies with the kids, and enjoyed it, man. It was fun. But yeah, good times, good times. I hope everybody out there who's listening who's a dad had a great Father's Day. Yeah, I think we all pretty much owe it to our fathers in some sort of respect about us getting into fishing. At least most of us do. I know I definitely do for my dad, because if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be as nearly as obsessed with it as I am. But it was a good weekend, man. It was, you know, nice. It's I could do without the heat.
Yeah, it was brutal for sure. I will say that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Did you guys find any fish?
Yeah, we did. I mean, we launched up at put out at the No Motor Zone. Water's clean, good grass still, you know, thank God. But we got into some small size school trout, and I think I told you the story earlier. I had one probably 10-11 inch trout. I got right to the side of the boat, and I'm not sure what it was, but something much bigger tried to eat it twice, and I never saw the fish. But yeah, that was different. I never had that happen before. So I unhooked the small trout real quick, and I was throwing topwater, me and Peppy, and threw around a little bit. Wasn't able to get whatever that was to eat, but got one decent sized trout, probably mid 20s, 24, 25 inch. Saw some small reds. Had a snook actually that we came across pushing along some mangroves. Actually watched it eat a Slayer Inc. SSB molting, and only to hook it and have it take off at about Mach 1 back towards the mangroves. I couldn't keep the line tight. It came off and got it to eat again one more time, but as soon as it ate it, it spit it back out. And then, of course, there was the manatee encounter. that I told you about, that if, you know, we get time later or whatever, I can share the information as a, I guess, a safety tip for the night. It was amusing, to say the least.
Yeah, but, I wasn't going to bring it up. I was going to let you talk about that.
Yeah, okay. I can do it now. I can wait. I don't want to take up too much time, but...
Go right ahead.
All right. Coming back in from deeper water, the wind started kicking up on us, so we were heading back into a mangrove shoreline that I know you and I, the last time we fished up there, fished it, and it's can be pretty good. So we're coming back in, coming through deep water, cutting across the channel, and next to Pepe, Manatee popped up, and he saw it. And no sooner than he said, "I better move," than the manatee decided to kick it into turbo, blew underneath his boat, lifted him out of the water, about rocked him over, went underneath my kayak. In one of its tail pushes, it kind of, as it lifted its tail, I lifted with it, probably about a foot out of the water. And when it dropped me, the whole front of the boat just submerged and popped back up like a bobber. And just soaked us. I mean, it just threw a weight off of it. And I've heard about it and heard horror stories. Never had it happen personally until yesterday. And I tell you what, for such big, big docile creatures, when those things want to move, they've definitely got it. Kind of scary to say the least. So I have regained a new respect for manatees. It was, we were able to laugh about it. There was no. Nobody got wet or too wet. Nobody took a swim. So, but definitely made the day. That was pretty funny. So,
nice. Well, let's see. Yeah, I didn't get thrown out of the boat or anything like that this weekend by any manatees. And actually, I'll tell you something that was interesting. Over by 528, the islands where we were hanging out at, I saw a couple porpoises or bottlenose dolphins, whatever the heck they are, off in the distance, kind of playing around or whatever. And one of them just didn't look quite right. So I got in the boat and took off and went over to look at it. And it was missing, or not even missing. Its dorsal fin was basically like cut off.
Wow.
Yeah. But there was like still a small bit of like tissue that was still left. And, I don't know, man. It was weird. It was just kind of like hanging there. Like something had maybe like a prop maybe hit it or I don't know.
Let's say a prop. Yeah.
But there was no other, it was weird because there was no other damage done to the porpoise that I could see. I mean, and you would figure if it chopped part of its, his dorsal fin off, he'd have cut at least part of his back up, but it didn't.
Prop mark.
Yeah, didn't appear to have any of those other issues, so it was kind of interesting.
Oh. Bull shark.
Yeah, right? And who knows, man? It's kind of crazy. But,
wow.
Yeah, so let's, you know what? We still have a few minutes before our guest calls us, and let's talk about Friday night, shall we? Because Friday night was interesting. So I got out to the port roughly, I don't know, about 6:30, 7 o'clock. And we got ready to load up or get ready to drop in and went to the very back boat ramp. For those of you that are familiar with Port Canaveral, you know what I'm talking about. It's the ramp back by the drawbridge. And it was low tide, which I wasn't really expecting. And to launch a Hobie Pro Angler 14 on low tide in the port, in the back basin, is, I would probably say, one of the most difficult things I've ever tried to do kayak related. For those of you that are not familiar with that particular ramp, when it gets to be low tide and the water level drops, it drops down below the actual hump of the ramp. So basically when you see folks drop their wheels off the back end of a ramp on their trailer and they get stuck, that's pretty much the way it is down there. So I tried to shove the Pro Angler down the ramp and it went in the water and that was all good. But then I tried to walk it around to the floating dock. And I slipped on the algae. And when I slipped on the algae, I ate it. Like went straight down on my knee. But it looked good. Yeah. I took the picture of my knee, but it looked good. You know, I tried to surf it and make it look professional, right? Pro staff as always. And, used the pro angler as the anchor to stop myself from sliding any further or any deeper into the water. I've already lost at this point. I'd already lost probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 phones probably to that back ramp. I've slipped down that ramp probably a dozen times. It's just a slick ramp, man. It just sucks. But anyway, so I regain my composure, kind of suck it up a little bit, and jump back into the boat. And once I kind of adjust everything, including the big gaping hole in my knee and everything else, I decide to just suck it up and go on about my night, even though I just ruined my favorite pair of fishing pants, which kind of upset me. But anyway, I digress. So paddling around, waiting for the other guys to show up, I'm off over underneath the drawbridge on the other side towards the locks, and I pick up 2 small mangrove snapper right off the bat, and then I turn around and look, and I thought I heard something busting behind me, and there was some mullet getting thrashed up against the bank. And on a low tide in Port Canaveral, on the backside of the drawbridge, there's actually a culvert pipe that comes down from a drainage ditch that's up above that area, and the water kind of just trickles out of there, not real heavy, just kind of, you know, falls through. And usually the bait fish will gather right there. Well, the snook will gather there too. So all of a sudden, I look over again, as I said, and boom, there goes the fish, mullet flying everywhere. So I throw a topwater plug over there, just a Spook Junior, and twitch it maybe 4 or 5 times, and boom, snook eats it. Not a big snook, probably about, I don't know, 22, maybe 24 inches, something like that. And real quick, catch, release, throw it back, did its thing. And then, so cruise back over to the boat ramp. Guys are starting to show up. Aaron's there. Who else was there then? I guess everybody was there. It was Aaron. Who all was out there with us? It was Aaron. Wow.
Austin, right?
Austin, thank you. Aaron, Austin, Justin, and there's somebody else out there with us too. Steve was out there with us, and there was another person out there too. Who else? Adam. Thank you. Adam was out there with us. And so we all kind of make our way over towards the cruise ship basin where we're going to do our night fishing, and picked up or threw a shrimp in there towards the rocks going into the cruise ship basin, got hammered by something big, missed it, threw back right in the same spot, boom, picked up a little redfish, maybe about 17, 18 inches long, and then headed on into the cruise ship basin where the group of us proceeded to pick through the small mangrove snappers, but it was wide open. It was like every single cast you caught a mangrove snapper damn near, or at least you lose your shrimp. And, you know, and I fished it with just a shrimp on just a 2-0 owner hook, owner live bait hook, with a small split shot just to kind of get it down. And yes, you caught the only keeper mangrove snapper of the night. Austin, congratulations. However, that gets negated because you were forced to leave Port Canaveral because you weren't set up appropriately for fishing Port Canaveral at night. So there, in your face. But it, yeah, then we got the boot. Yeah. So I'll get to that in just a second. So anyway, so we're out there, and we move from spot to spot. We're picking up some fish. The water's nice and clean. You can see giant schools of jacks cruising around. There's sheephead cruising around, mangrove snappers, as we said. It's really, really lively. So I don't know. We're probably about 45 minutes into the evening, and here comes the port police coming hauling butt on their boat. I mean, he's on a plane just running right towards us. And he's like, I need all you guys to gather around. So we go over there, we gather around, and, you know, he gives us kind of the riot act because a few of us were a little close to the seawalls at times, which, by the way, just so everybody knows, whoever else decides to fish Port Canaveral, because I plan on going back, you have to maintain 25 feet off of all the seawalls and all the bulkheads. You have to maintain 100 feet away from all of the ships and docked boats. So that's the rule. You can cast 25 feet to hit the wall. It's not that far, but you got to stay outside that barrier there. That includes the rocky shoreline. Any shoreline in Port Canaveral is considered a bulkhead. So it's 25 feet off of all the shorelines. And there you go. And then, the port police officer then proceeded to acknowledge the fact that myself and Grain Fart, myself and Aaron had the only two legal lights. So I had a Yak Attack Visipole. He had a homemade deal. And it was pretty funny. He was like, well, your headlamps aren't going to cut it because your glow sticks don't cut it. And he goes, if you're going to fish Port Canaveral, you need to have a 360-degree white light. So I'm not the argumentative type of person when it comes to dealing with the police. I used to be a deputy sheriff here in Brevard County. I understand these guys are just doing their jobs, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, basically, if you want to fish Port Canaveral, do not have a and you do not have a 360-degree light, then you need to go out and procure yourself one. Whether or not you make yourself one or you buy one, you know, have a 360-degree light before you go back to fish Port Canaveral. Did you know that was the case, Alan?
No, I've never fished it. I've never, I would have never known all that. So, I mean, I want to fish it, but, you know, that's, sounds like a different adventure from what I'm used to, but I never knew all that stuff. So they'd have probably had me in shackles if I'd have been up there, but,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, too, Mark's on the line. So he's cool. On hold there. So whenever you're ready.
Cool. I'll finish the story up real quick. So basically, all right. Here's the deal. This is the way this works. Even though people think that you have to have that, all you legally have to have is a headlamp or a glow stick or whatever the rules might be for the river. When you're inside Port Canaveral, there's a whole different set of rules, and that's just the way it works. And so. There you go. Word to the wise. If you're going to go out snook fishing at night, mangrove snapper fishing at night, whatever, in Port Canaveral, have a 360-degree light so that you can be seen from a distance. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. And with that, let's welcome our friend Mark. Mark, welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. How are you, brother?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going good.
What's
man.
Up?
It's going good.
I heard you had quite a spill. I was trying to catch the beginning of the show while I got out here. You're not allowed to do that as a pro staffer, man. That's something the suits in the office are supposed to do. It's guys that never get to go fish.
Yeah, well, you know what's really funny, dude, is it's like I said, I've got quite the history with this particular ramp. I've flipped on this ramp probably a dozen times, just you know, bringing boats back in or whatever. And I knew better than to try and walk down close to the edge, but you know what, it's one of those things. It's like my pride kind of took over and I was like, you know what, I can make this work. And so I looked at the spot where my last step was and I said, yeah, it looks pretty dry. I stepped there and that was that, but you know, it happened.
Wow. I had something similar to that this weekend. I was taking the Santa paddleboard for his maiden voyage. And I was getting in off of a boat ramp. And I knew with all the cement around that I was going to fall if I tried to stand up right away. So I actually paddled it freestyle, like a surfboard, all the way out until I was in deep enough water that if I absolutely fell over, I wasn't going to hurt myself. Ended up being okay, though.
There you go. So for those of you that don't know who Mark is, Mark works with or works for, I'm not real sure what your title is, man, to be honest with you, but you work for yakgear.com.
Yeah, I do. I've worked for Yak Gear my whole life. So we kind of, Bill, the president, started it when I was about 16 or 17. And about 7 miles an hour with little minions in the back tying the paddle leashes. And stuck with it ever since. Stuck with it through 4 years of college, and now we're here.
Sweet.
So it's a lot of fun. I'm doing all the production now, a lot of the production management.
Awesome. So give us a little bit of background, man, about yakgear.com. For those who are listening that may live underneath a rock and have never heard of you guys before or whatever, just kind of let us know how you guys started and kind of where you're at now. And we'll I'm sure there'll be a bunch of questions that folks will have in the chat room, too, that we can answer.
So go right ahead. Yeah, definitely. We were formally founded in around 2007. Bill ran an eBay store, and we sold paddle leashes. Just because all the paddle leashes in the market were really big and bulky and tended to make a lot of noise when you were trying to sneak up on fish. So we had this really lightweight, half-pound, bungee paddle leash. And really, the Academy liked it, and Academy picked it up, and that's when we became a company, kind of selling OEM replacement parts and different kayak-specific parts and growing the line until now. And then now we're a wholesaler of paddle board accessories for kayaks and canoes, and we're getting into stand-up paddle boards. And we make just about, I'd like to think, anything you'd like to put on a kayak to rig it for maybe a little more fun, a little more efficiency, and definitely for safety.
Yeah, you know, I was looking go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, so we're as a wholesaler, our stuff's in a lot of the big box stores nationwide, Academy, Dick, Cabela's, West Marine, WBI's, and we're working our way into a lot of smaller kayak shops, too. Some of the mom-and-pop kayak shops that really know what they're talking about. We're actually pretty excited to get into kayak and go whenever that happens.
Hey, we just sat down today and did a little mock order, me and Tom, so that'll be coming your way here shortly, along with that app that we always have to fill out or whatever. But looking forward to it, man, because I know once we get some of that stuff in, there's a few items that you guys have from Railblazer that I definitely want to put on the PA. So
definitely, we are now the U.S. distributor, the exclusive U.S. distributor for Railblazer, which has been awesome. They're tearing up New Zealand, Australia, and Europe right now. And kind of since I've been working with them, I realized Australia is always way ahead of us, and they've got some sweet stuff for kayaks and paddle sports in general. So we're really excited about that.
Alan, have you had an opportunity to check out all the cool stuff that's available through Yak
Gear? You know what? I was going to say he was just talking about the Railblazer stuff, and I was kind of thumbing through some of the pages on here, and from looking at what I see on their website, there looks like there is not a mount not made for anything. I mean, holy cow. I didn't realize they had all the rod holders and just, I mean, I haven't even gone through it all yet, just looking at it, but I was kind of browsing through it there while y'all were talking and, bouncing around the website and stuff, and they definitely got it down, man. They got something for everything for kayaks. So very, very cool site. So I'm gonna have to check some of this stuff out. I've already seen a few things that I looking to get. So good stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do, man. When literally everything that you could possibly want to put on your kayak is available right here. And for me, especially having the PA. One of the things that kind of jumped out to me right away, and we had kind of talked about it a little bit through Facebook, Mark, you and I did, the Railblazer Rail Mount 3241 is something that I think has, when I first saw it, I was like, that's the answer. You know, that's what I need to do to my kayak to make my kayak efficient for my style of fishing. So how is I know you guys do all your own products, the leashes and all that stuff, and a lot of safety gear and whatnot. How has the Railblazer kind of changed yakgear.com? How has it changed you guys as far as a business? Has it really helped the growth, or is it still just kind of coming on?
Yeah, it definitely has. It's definitely brought a lot of sex appeal, for lack of a better word. We were always the guys supplying the kayak manufacturers, supplying the replacement parts, and this is kind of the luxury product. This is a nice system that you have on a hobby.
Hello? Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I'm kind of losing you a little bit, brother. One of the things, like I said, I noticed right away was with this mount, I don't have to drill any holes for my PA, and I can actually do 1, 2, 3. I've got 1, 2, 3 different places on my kayak that I can now mount a camera mount from using. There you go. From just using the Railblazer rail mount, which is pretty freaking awesome. Because I was also looking at the platform boom and a couple of other things, man. I mean, when it's all said and done, my kayak's going to look like something that Rob DeVore would want to use.
Definitely. I'm trying to get him to buy into the Railblazer system slowly but surely. He doesn't like drilling holes in his boat, but I think hanging out with us could get into it.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
One of the guys in the chat room has a question. He wants to know if the system will work on the native rails, the already installed native rails, and a lot of some of the other out of the Wilderness system comes with like a track system stuff. Will that stuff all adapt over to that? Or
yeah, definitely. And there's actually two different rail mounts. There's a rail mount 1925, which is all millimeters. The guys in New Zealand set it up as millimeters. And so that's a little smaller one. And all the kits come with adjustable. You add a little line of Velcro-like material on your rail if it needs to be a little tighter. But they've got the flexibility down for all the U.S.-manufactured kayaks and a lot of the ones manufactured overseas as well.
Oh, cool.
They don't get a lot of Hobies and all those over there in Australia.
Well, I'm hoping that they'll get at least one Hobie over there this year in Australia for their Hobie World Fishing Championships. Because man, I'll tell you what, I am dying to go over there and try and fish over there. But
yeah,
I was tooling through, I was thumbing through the new Yak Fish magazine, and I noticed that you guys got on one of the fresh catch pages on the rigging side, the Starport base and the Railblazer Mobi mobile device holder. That's pretty cool, man. I saw you guys got a little mention in there about that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, that's the thing. I think what people don't understand is there's every mount that you guys do, it's almost like Ram Company. Every mount that you guys do, there's so many options, like with Starports, that you can do like unlimited amount of actual devices there. So like you got a mobile phone holder.
Yeah, that's right. That's I actually take that everywhere with me as the social media guy. Yeah, whenever I go out to fish, I got to have a camera nearby, and the iPhone acts as a makeshift camera. But that's I'll retest that for just about anything. If I want my rod holder there, and something happens, I can switch it out for a Mobi holder, switch it out for anything I need to. And that's really what I like most about Railblazers. There's no lifting and turning and maneuvering while you're on the water. It's all an easy click and it's in and out. But the Mobi holder is pretty cool. They're actually making an iPad holder and all sorts of other holders similar to this one. That I don't know who takes an iPad out on the water, but someone does. And when I ever get one, I'm going to take it out there for sure and put it in that mount.
An iPad mount.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But those Mobi holders are good. You don't just need an iPhone for it. It's good for any kind of GPS or VHF or radio. And that's what most of the guys are using for now.
There you go. So any of you guys that are out there that are listening to the show that are going to be going off the beaches this summer and venturing out past the 2 mile, 3 mile mark offshore, that's a product you guys can get to hold on to your VHF. Alan.
Yeah. I'm still looking through the website here.
Making a wish list.
Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking about it. I'm looking at this. It's the Sea Tug kayak and canoe cart, and it's one thing I've found. I've got one of the. I won't mention the brand. It's a great cart, but the problem I've had, and I know you've got the like the wheel kit for the Hobie and stuff like that, but the cart that I use for my big tuna, because if I have to move that thing from behind my house, around the front, get in the truck. The kayak cart that I use, it's one of the systems. It's got the little, kind of a little V in it with the foam pads on it and stuff. But that big tuna is so big that if you don't get the cart underneath it just right, it just doesn't work. And I'm looking on the website here for Yak Gear, and they've got the Sea Tug kayak and canoe cart. I mean, this thing looks like something you'd see with like a NASA moonwalk or something, one of those little Mars rover type things. I mean, it's got the cool solid wheels on it. It's almost got, you know, more than the V-bars frame on it. It's got like almost like looks like some kind of padding or something. And so yeah, that one might go top to the top of my wish list there. It's very cool looking. So I'm just kind of bouncing around looking at stuff. So very good stuff.
Cool. Yeah, man. Well, I mean, it's in the world of kayak fishing, obviously, there's a few names that really stand out right off the bat when it comes to accessories. And there's a lot of folks that, you know, when I first stumbled upon Railblazer and all of the things that Yak Gear carries, I'll let you know, Rob DeVore told me probably 100 times that, dude, you got to check them out. Dude, you got to check them out. Dude, you got to check them out. And I was like, I'll check them out. Check them out. Calm down. Like, I'm looking to get some stuff for my new boat. Like, I'll check them out. I promise. As soon as I'm ready to get stuff, I'll go look. And so when I did, I was pleasantly surprised, man. And really, with no exaggeration, looking at, like, the Railblazer telepole and the rail mount for the Hobie, those two items themselves are going to solve, like I said before, a ton of issues that I've got with my boat as far as convenience for my style of fishing. And then you throw in the camera booms and stuff like that, man. It's crazy. So what all do you guys got going on up there now? I mean, are you guys working on anything new and exciting for this upcoming year? Is there anything you guys are going to put out for OR or anything like that?
We have some I guess I'd have to probably shoot myself if I said it, but we have some interesting stuff coming out. A lot of it, the sport overall is growing, and one segment of the sport that we've really noticed growing is the night fishing part of it. You guys mentioned the rules for 360 lights earlier. Railblazer has the NaviSafe 360 light that plugs in everywhere, and that's good. But we're really not happy with just having one option. So we're coming out with, without getting too far into it, we're coming out with some cool products that are really going to help night fishers, I think. Because I guess you mentioned it earlier, and in Texas, you can't – a year or two ago, you could go down on a – Friday or Saturday night, and there wouldn't be very many kayakers. And our product designer, Nate, told me today, he said, you go out there on a Friday or Saturday night now, you can hardly get a spot. So we're gonna have some cool night fishing stuff coming up here in a couple months, getting ready for OR and ICAST.
Sweet. Are you going to be at ICAST?
I won't be there myself. We'll be there. So Bill Bragman will be there, and he'll have some guys with him.
Cool.
I went to OR last year, and it was nuts. I could have lived in the main room, but we had a lot of stuff going on, kind of fell behind in the warehouse, and with the growth we've had this year, we can't afford to fall behind again. But we'll have guys there, and we'll be releasing those products then. So y'all stop by. I think we're in at ICAST. We're in booth 1908, right next to Native, and at Outdoor Retailer, we'll be in the new vendor tent, because that's where the party is. We liked it so much last year, we decided to stay. We'll be in PV 332.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to make it out to OR, man. I really, really want to go there. But, you know, it was this year, it was kind of a toss-up between OR and going to ICAST. And even though I've been to ICAST a million times, I'm finally going to ICAST as a buyer as opposed to just media. So
right.
You know, it's one of those things. I couldn't pass that up to go to OR. There was too much stuff that I'd miss out on. So, but who knows, man? Maybe I might get lucky and end up out there in OR. Maybe we'll even get Alan to tag along.
I think,
so that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think both of those are those are gear junkies' dream. That just kind of caters to our disability. It shows so much gear in our face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time.
Yeah, it's easy to get kind of lost too when you start looking around and you've got all these choices and all these brand new products. And it's just like, sometimes it's almost too much, you know, like, especially ICAST. Sometimes I find myself having to walk out of the room, like literally walk completely out of the showroom and just like go grab a drink or something and then come back in so that I can clear my head. And it's like everything that's new just boggles my mind, but no, that's cool, man. I'm really excited about seeing some new stuff from you guys and seeing what all you guys have out there. Alan, you got anything?
No, that was it. I mean, I can't get off the website. So sorry, I'm not. I wasn't paying attention, but man, they got a ton of stuff. Anything you could ever want. That's cool. Great site.
Yeah, from everything from anchoring, leashes, outriggers, rigging and rod holders, Railblazer stuff, the seats, the lighting, the bungees and hardware. For those of you that like to do it yourself, they got apparel. They've got featured products, like whatever they think is the hot thing now. Some fishing gear, transportation and storage. I mean, they literally have everything covered. And when me and Tom are going through the site today to look and see what all we're gonna carry, because we plan on having a rather significant presence in the shop with Yak Gear, it almost made the decision making process kind of tough, because there's so much good stuff, man. So much good stuff.
Definitely, yeah. We appreciate it. We're excited about getting in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like, for instance, for those of you that are listening in the chat room or whatever, listening either on our live feed or through the app, they have a 2.2 pound Bruce anchor. Like it's a legitimate anchor for those of us that anchor sometimes in places that's kind of rocky and a little bit tougher to grab. I mean, it's crazy. And then they got a 3 pound anchor. They have a 1.5 pound anchor. They have them in anchor kits. They got all the anchoring cleats. They got full kits. They got deluxe anchor kits. They got drip anchors, drip socks. It's just, dude, it's like Christmas going through that list.
Definitely. You'll have to swing by our warehouse sometime. We'd have a lot of fun showing you around.
Well, maybe what we'll do one year is we'll get a chance to do a boondoggle out that way. And then like all the boondogglers can go and hang out at the warehouse and invade the warehouse.
I think we're going in and out. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Yeah, I keep.
And I lost you. Yeah, we're losing you. That's all right.
All right, hey. let's see.
Yeah, Mark.
Is that better?
Listen, man. Yeah, that's better. But listen, real quick, man, let's just do this before we lose you all together. Let everybody know where they can go to check out all your products. Give us the website. Contact information, and there you go.
Definitely. We're first and foremost, we're available at all your big box stores. You can't find it there, check out www.yak-gear.com. And we're all over all the media networks, too, if you can't find us anywhere else. But I wanted to offer you guys, since you guys are being so sweet and letting us get on the show, I wanted to offer all the listeners a coupon code that we'll be doing 20% off for the next month for all your listeners. And just type in the code REDFISH at yakgear.com.
Nice.
20% off your total purchase.
Fantastic, man. Thank you so much for that. That's awesome.
Definitely. Y'all take care, and I'll hang up and listen.
Sweet, man. Thanks, brother. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Let's see.
Awesome.
Very cool. So the code is REDFISH.
REDFISH. So Redfish. All you got to do is, listen to our show, man. You never know. You know, tell your friends about our show and have them listen in, because, 20% off for an entire month. That's pretty awesome.
That's big. Very awesome.
Pretty awesome. Heck yeah, that's cool, man. And trust me, there's a, dude, I saw Rob say that, Benita Bob's PA looks like a porcupine with all of the star mounts he's got. And dude, I'm telling you, I've got a little list jotted aside of things that I absolutely have to have. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. Cool. So yeah, did Rob ever call? Let's see.
No, Rob never called. No, there's one other caller though. Big Fly Reel's been on hold, so he was waiting. If you want to put him through.
Yeah, that's Mr. Becker.
Where? I know him.
Mr. Becker I met Mr. Becker once. That's the greatest day of my life. Mr. Becker.
Mine too, obviously.
Was the lucky winner of the 200th like at the Kayaks by Bo Facebook page. So definitely appreciate you liking our page, my man, and we'll get you out some of the Slayer stuff as quick as we can. Probably you should see it at the house by the weekend.
No, glad to do it, man. Glad to pitch in and help get it out there. So good to do.
So tell me, man, did you go out and do any fishing this past weekend for Father's Day? Did you have a good Father's Day?
Yeah, we did. We with some of the wind forecasts and a couple of the things that had to go on here, we decided to swap weekend days and pretend that Saturday was Sunday and Sunday was Saturday. So Junior Flyreel, a.k.a. Snooky Dude, a.k.a. the kid who outfishes me half the time now, and I got out early Saturday morning. Thought the tides are going to be better than they were. Turns out a pretty stiff west wind in the morning was kind of keeping the water in the bay on the outgoing. It kind of slowed it down and slowed the bite way down. But I picked up one small keeper trout and lost one nice snook. And Robert picked up one nice keeper trout that went in the bag to be part of a Father's Day gift going north to my dad in New York with some cobia fillets, some redfish fillets, and now some speckled trout fillets, which is the thing we were conspicuous by its absence from that box. So that'll be going out tomorrow. And we paddled back to the dock, cleaned up the fish, cleaned up the boats, and headed over to the Tampa Bay Rays game in the afternoon. So that was my Father's Day. And then Sunday was spent doing Saturday stuff like mowing the yard and string trimming and leaf blowing and planting plants and redoing a lot of mulch and trimming a tree and all that other fun stuff, which if I had actually realized it was Father's Day, there's no way I would have been doing. So it was easier just to ignore it.
So you're over in the Tampa area, North Tampa area. Where are you at?
That is correct. You're in, it's actually south of Tampa between Tampa and Bradenton on Florida's west coast.
There you go. So whenever we hear from Mr. Becker, all of his fishing reports are coming from the west coast of Florida. So all you guys that are listening to the show from that area can be well in tuned of what's going on over there. We definitely appreciate that. And are you, you got anything going on this week, man? You planning on going out and doing some fishing this weekend?
Yeah, actually this weekend may be my first trip for tarpon this year. The bite over here off the beaches has been really, really strange, according to the guys who've been going out, you know, since they made their kayaks out of steel skin and stretched whalebone, and, you know, who have been out there doing it for 100 years. They say it's one of the strangest bites. The fish that have been showing up have been few and far between. They've all been just moving fast and not interested in chewing. But the last couple of weekends, guys have been getting hooked up and jumping a few and breaking some hooks and doing some fun stuff. So next weekend, I'm not sure if it's going to be Saturday or Sunday, but one of those days may work out for me to try and bend one of the bigger rods a little bit.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, I've been contemplating whether or not it's getting to be time to go off the beaches here to look for tarpon, and I heard a couple of reports for guys that are out in boats that have been finding some. I know Steve Chapman, who's there in the chat room from Fishing Florida Radio, let us know that he was out was last week, I believe, and he saw some fish. I don't think he ever got into the tarpon, but saw some fish rolling around out there. So it's definitely getting close, man. The time of year for us to go off the beaches and really target the big fish is getting close too. So getting excited for that. What I'm really wanting to do, and I'm hoping to maybe do it in the next couple of weekends, is head down south, man. I'm getting sick and tired of watching guys reeling big wahoo and blackfin tunas and dolphin and not being able to be a part of that, man. It's driving me absolutely nuts. So did you guys see that? Did you see that? It's like they said it was 61 pounds. That fish looked bigger than 61 pounds. Plus that dude is like 5 foot tall.
Yeah, I was gonna say he must have had his time off in the lollipop keel to be able to be out fishing if that fish was that small. It looked like a lot bigger than that, true enough.
Yeah. So, but man, it's definitely of all the offshore species that I want to catch on out of a kayak, I think the wahoo probably tops the list. I mean, it is one of my absolute favorite eating fish, one of my favorite fish to catch out of a powerboat. Man, I can't imagine, you know, hooking a 60-pound missile out of a freaking kayak. Alan, what do you... go ahead, Greg.
No, I've...
What are you going to use for gear, Chuck? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alan.
No, go ahead.
Well, down south for the Wahoo fishing, I'll probably just bring one of my Avets. I've got an Avet LX6. It's kind of a high gear ratio, 6-to-1. I'm not a big fan of that, but for Wahoo fishing, it's fine. I have that reel backfilled with about 450 to close, probably closer to 500 yards of 50-pound Holocore Jerry Brown, where I spliced that into a 40-pound mainline, which I got about 200 yards of top shot on that, which I'll run that to probably just a wire or something, drag a ballyhoo or vertical jig, or I'll figure it out when we get down there. But the Avet LX6 has plenty of drag to stop any wahoo, I think, that swims in the ocean. And the rod that it's on is it's a Crowder. It's a little bit beefier than a kingfish rod. It's like a 20 to 30 as opposed to like a 15-20, which is a typical kingfish rod. So I really favor that combo a lot. I've used it from years and years and years in my bigger boat, and I've caught and killed tons of dolphin and wahoo on that rod. And it's a fun rod to use. Plus, it's light. That all aluminum frame in that Avet is just it's a great reel.
Yeah, I don't have any conventional saltwater tackle yet. All my stuff is, I've got boxes of Daiwa TDXs, TDX LHs. I got to reel left-handed with conventionals because of a wrist injury years ago. It's uncomfortable to reel right-handed. Plus, I can't stand the stupid switch your hands thing when you're casting. I just don't understand that. I guess I'm not coordinated enough to manage it. But I was looking, just the guy the other day shot me a note from over in Largo, which is just up the coast from me, that he has a left-handed Avet that he might be looking to part with that's on a kind of a kingfish setup, but I might be able to adapt for a couple other uses. So giving that some serious consideration.
Yeah, it's a great, like I say, it's a great reel. The thing about Avets, the same thing with Accurates and Alutechnos, a lot of those reels that are made of or cut from one-piece stock aluminum, they tend to feel a little geary, and that's just because, man, they've got so much just power. In fact, I know a lot of king fishermen that won't use Avets, Alutechnos, or Accurates because they can't get a light enough drag for their liking. I mean, if you talk to a guy who's been king fishing for a long time, you know, whether he's tournament king fishing or he's just a commercial king fisherman, they really only like about 2, maybe 3 pounds of drag at most on their reels because they're using, you know, trebles, they're using stinger rigs, so it's easy to pull hooks out of their faces are kind of soft. But for battling fish like dolphin or wahoo or blackfin tunas or whatever, man, they're awesome. I also have a Saragossa 8000 Shimano spinning reel that's backed again with a lot of braid. In fact, it's not backed with braid; it's full of braid, and I only put 40 pound on it because, quite frankly, if I have to put more than 40 pounds of heat on that braid, which I can't do with that reel anyway, I probably don't want to catch whatever's at the other end of the rod. So. But yeah, no, and vertical jigging down there seems to be kind of the key. I know some of the guys drop live baits on little downriggers and stuff, and or troll ballyhoo or whatever the case may be. You know, I'm going to go down there. I want to go down there a couple times this year. And one of the things I really want to try and do, and that sounds kind of stupid, but one of the things I really want to try and do is drag around almost like a sailfish dredge behind the Hobie and mm-hmm. hopefully draw one in nice and tight to where I can roll cast like a 12-weight fly rod to it, try and get one on fly. I think that would be awesome.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got a big giant box in my garage full of teasers and dredges and stuff from my old boat. And, you know, they're just sitting there. And the other day I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? If I just tied one of those things off the back handle of the kayak, threw it off the back when I got out there and just, you know, pedal up and down a rip or around a weed line or whatever. If nothing else, it should attract dolphin and blackfins into the little skirts there. So, and I mean, they're cheap. You can make your own dredge out of basically just replacement skirts. If you go to any of your good offshore stores, they should sell Yuzuri replacement skirts for like $2.99 for like a 6-pack. And then you just, you can run them inline. You can get a small umbrella bar, or small dredge bar, and run them inline and separate them, make them about each arm about maybe 6 foot in length. And then every foot and a half or so, put a squid. It's pretty easy to do with a crimp and a little plastic like rigging bead. works real well to stop the squid from sliding all the way down. But something different, you know. I mean, I know the guys down there are killing it in their conventional methods, and you know, I just would like to see something a little bit different. Or even if nothing else, to put a GoPro camera in the water and you know, show that skirt, you know, that dredge working behind the kayak, and maybe something shooting in and trying to attack it. I think that would be pretty cool.
Be interesting to see what kind of interaction you got with a thrust off the fins.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think that the disturbance that the fins give off, I think that it would really make that thing dance, like a lot. So it could be interesting. It could look like a big pile of turds, and nothing would want to come up and take a look at it. But you know, if you go out and give it a whirl and it works out, man, hey, you could start a whole another style of kayak fishing, so to speak.
It could be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I absolutely love it, man. To me, the idea of taking these little plastic boats and heading offshore and targeting big pelagic fish like big wahoo and even just the black fins and stuff. I mean, it sounds like a freaking riot, man. That's something I've been dying to do, and I haven't had an opportunity really to do it. And with our local guys, Ed and a bunch of the guys, Justin and them, who all have been going down there and doing it, you know, it's really kind of spiked my interest. And then, of course, with social media, and you click on Facebook one morning and the guy's standing there holding a 6-foot wahoo from its tail that he just caught in his PA. You're just like, really? All right. The heck with redfish and trout. I'm pretty much done with that for now. Let's go down there and catch something worth eating.
Very nice.
Alan, what do you think, man? Are you ready to go down south and finally get off the beach or what?
Yeah. You know what? I'm just taking it all in. I was going to say it's funny because whenever we, cool, funny, but whenever the topic of offshore comes up, I can tell you've got like just a passion for the deep water kayaking stuff. Cause it's like, you know, you're into it and I've never done it. I mean, the heaviest reel I've got is 3,000. So I've got no, nothing rigged. Which I don't think it'd work. I could maybe catch your greenies and your ballyhoo for bait for you, but you know, other than that, I'm definitely not rigged up for nothing like that. But you know, seeing some of the posts and hearing you talk about it, and you know, I definitely know that you've got that side of things down when it comes to the offshore stuff. So you know, if I could get a chance to go, you know, somebody like you, and I know you know, the other guys in the group and stuff that do it. I think if I could get hooked up with some guys that know what they're doing, because I don't. I mean, I'm seldom in more than about a foot of water unless I'm crossing deep water to get to shallow water. So I just, you know, I'd be like the new guy that's never fished before. But it's definitely something I'd want to do. I can't imagine hooking into, you know, something the size of the, you know, the pictures I'm seeing, you know, different, you know, the dolphin, the cobia, you know, like you said, the wahoo and stuff like that. I'm sure it'd be a blast. I just don't have the stuff to do it. So, you know, I'd definitely be up for it though. So.
Well, I mean, it's not like I've done it out of the kayak. I mean, I've never done a whole bunch of blue water stuff out of the kayak. In fact, I've never done blue water out of the kayak. I've done what I like to call green water, which is close to our bank here off Cocoa Beach and Patrick and that kind of stuff. But I've done enough blue water fishing in my life with my boat and other, you know, friends' boats that it's the same difference. It doesn't make a difference if you're sitting in a kayak or if you're in a powerboat. I mean, it's a dolphin's going to eat a rigged ballyhoo the same way he would if it's trolled behind a kayak as if it was trolled behind a contender or a yellowfin. You know, it's
exactly.
You know, I don't know. It's just different. It gives us something different to do. It gives us something a completely different side of the fishing game to kind of try and attack. And like, and then too, also on the West Coast, man, I mean, we're coming into the time of year where scalloping's going to start here not too far off, I don't think. And to do a weekend trip over there to the West Coast to do some scalloping out of the kayaks and one day, and then, you know, pedal offshore a little bit and try and get onto some snapper, some groupers and stuff like that. You know, it's good to always expand your horizons. If you get too stuck in one style of fishing, I feel that you you can almost get burnt out. And, you know, a couple of times in the last few years, I've gotten a little burnout. I mean, it's – trust me, I love catching redfish, obviously. I mean, my nickname kind of says that. But it gets old, you know. I mean, when there's other things to do, it just gets old. So
I hear you. That's kind of, you know, like I was saying, I've never you know, I know Tammy and the group and stuff, they did a group of people did the little econ float trip, and they caught, you know, they caught fish, and, you know, I was kind of joking around with her how you know, that's not enough sodium in my diet to do something like that. So but, you know, again, I mean, they have fun. I mean, the there's so many things to you know, the kayaks can be used for, you know, the fresh water, the rivers and stuff, creeks, you know, my wife and I were talking the other day about doing the springs, you know, getting up around the central, north central area, getting into some of the springs, you know, Blue Springs, Guinea Springs, all that stuff up there. So just, you know, like you were saying, I'm just in that same mindset of flat fishing, you know, shallow water, sight fishing, whatever. And I've never broke outside that box. So, Probably time to do so, I think. So
yeah. I see Yak Chum there in the chat room is talking about outriggers on the. He said, "Yeah, but there's no outriggers on a kayak. You don't need outriggers, man. If you know how to run a cockpit in a center console, you don't have to have outriggers at all, and you can still troll five lines. But you really don't want to even get crazy with it. You do to fish four rods. I don't know. I'll argue that fact. I mean, there's methods to the madness. I can run two baits off of flat lines off of either side of the kayak, and then run two deep, one, you know, back at 100 yards and one back at, you know, 75 yards, and they never cross each other. So, I mean, it could happen. I don't think anybody out here needs to be fishing four rods in the ocean. That's just kind of crazy out of a kayak. There's just not enough room for all that stuff. But Tommy Head said, what about planer boards? Yeah, you can use... you won't know what to do, Peppy said, if four big fish hit at once. You can use a planer. I mean, for us that have pedals and guys that can paddle pretty quick, you know, if you've got the stamina to keep pulling it along, sure you could. But to me, if you have a surface bait and a bait that's going to sink a little bit, like for me, I guess, again, never having done it out of a kayak, but if I were going to go down to South Florida this weekend, I would probably take, I'd go out to the river first. I'd probably net a half a dozen mullet. I'd split tail them and chin weight them with like a 2 ounce egg sinker, and run them on maybe a 6 foot piece of wire, and then run one of those back about 50, 60 yards behind the boat, and then run maybe either a live bait or just a skirted ballyhoo maybe right in behind the boat, and see what that would do. But I'm sure that any of the same techniques or any of the same bait type setups that you would use, you know, in power boats or whatever would probably work down there as well. Trolling with a kayak versus, yeah, of course. I mean, we can't compare the two. It's not kind of fair, but it's not like high speed trolling, and we can't high speed troll in a freaking kayak, which stinks, because there's nothing better than high speed trolling, hooking a wahoo on straight wire and snapping its neck and just basically reeling in a dead fish. That's pretty cool. But
I've seen you in the Hobie throwing a weight. You can probably get that thing up pretty quick.
Yeah, that's just because I'm fat, dude. That's why I throw it quick. No, but it's fun, man. It would be a good time. And vertical jigging is awesome. I mean, I don't know. I want to get down there and do some vertical jigging for the blackfin tunas when they get in there thick. I see that some of the guys down south have been catching some on a pretty regular basis. So, you know, I like blackfins. I'll kill every one of them little things I can too, man. They don't bother me at all. There's no size limit, but I don't know, whatever. I digress. What do you got, Alan?
Well, you know what? I had one other story that I wasn't going to say anything, but I've seen it flying around the chat room here going on. But not to change the subject, but this past week, I you know, helped out Alex with local lines, and had a little deal going on last week. But aside from that, I borrowed one of Pepe's kayaks, one of his brands other than Jackson, I'll say it. and now one of his natives, nice boat, and got it dropped off to the house. And then Lenny actually had the boat. I think you know what happened to Peppy when he was fishing the tournament, had truck problems, this and that. So Lenny ended up with the boat. So he dropped the boat off to me. I forget what day it was. It was over the weekend, I think, or something like that. So anyway, had it out on the back patio, getting ready for the deal I had Wednesday. And my dog kept going out to the kayak, and just right around the back little hatch cover behind the back seat, he kept sniffing and licking it and drooling, and I'm like, what is going on? So I go out there. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I get home from work. I walk outside. My back patio smells like a fish market where their coolers have broke. It smelled that bad. So, and this is an outside patio. So, of course, I let the dogs out. Gunner, my lab, goes right to the boat and just starts, again, licking, drooling at the little rubber hatch cover. So I open it up, and there is a nasty, stinky, about probably half of a piece of a ladyfish rotting in the back thing, the little storage area. So, you know, I didn't say nothing. I didn't clean it, but I got rid of the fish. So, anyway, when Peppy and I went fishing Sunday, he's like, you know, hey, when you guys went out Wednesday, did anybody use any cut bait? And I said, no, we brought some shrimp and some other stuff. So, you know, Peppy's like, well, you know, the little container behind my seat was like all full of nasty, rotten fish stuff. So I told him what had happened. And I guess what he ended up finding out, so, you know, of course, the minute he heard that, when I told him there was a big chunk of rotten ladyfish in there, he immediately made some phone calls and found out who the culprit was. So I guess it was somebody trying to choke on him by putting a big hunk of cut bait back there. And bad part about it was I was the brunt of the joke, because I ended up with a kayak in my back patio and ended up being the one to find it and have to clean it up. So it was pretty good. I think he's got some paybacks lined up, so it should be good.
I'd cut people for less than that.
Oh, it was bad, trust me. It was bad. There wasn't any, wasn't nothing growing in there yet, but a piece of 2-day-old ladyfish in this heat that's enclosed. When I took the lid off that thing, it could have been bad. So
gotcha.
instant nausea. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Horrible. That's not good. That's not good.
No.
All right. Well, funny, listen, yeah, it is funny. It's funny that they stuck that with you.
Wasn't my boat.
Yeah. Should have just, like, I don't know, shoved it
left
towards the
front. Yeah,
you should have left a little crack in the thing, so at least the little white maggots could have infiltrated it. That
could have nested, yeah. Add some shrimp to it.
Oh, horrible. That's the worst, dude. The heck with a ladyfish or a mullet. You let some shrimp rot, there is nothing that smells as bad as that.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Yep.
God, that is some nasty stuff. So anyway, we're at the top of the hour real quick. I want to run around real fast and see what everyone's going to be doing. We'll go back to Mr. Becker. If you were going to go and fish your region this weekend, or if you were looking to do a couple different things this weekend, i.e., different styles of fishing or whatever, what would you say would be your best bets? Where would you, not necessarily specific spots, but what would you look for? Depth of water, baits would you throw, that kind of thing.
Are you talking West Coast?
On your coast, yeah.
Yeah, because that's good. Because anywhere else, I think, I don't know, ask somebody who lives there. For me, it's going to be, you know, I'm not throwing anything that's alive or used to be for the most part. So I'm throwing all artificials. The top water bite's been good in some of the moving water, but again, the moving water seems to be the key. On this coast, this time of year, we don't have much of a tide movement in the morning. Like we do during the winter. In the morning, we have those real monster low tides where the mud flat goes out for a mile, and then you get a lot of water moving back in. You don't really have that kind of water movement in the morning here. You have it in the afternoon. But the bite typically hasn't been all that great, although I will say a couple of the pictures that got posted a couple of weeks ago were both afternoon bites of some pretty pretty substantial fish, at least for over here. So if I had to pick something, I'd probably look this weekend for a good afternoon moving tide, afternoon into dusk, where we're going to have some good moving water, check out the solooners, and be you know, be fishing ambush points as the water was moving and as the light was getting low. That's worked out the last couple of weekends pretty well. And the area where I'd be fishing actually holds snook, redfish, trout, and a bunch of, you know, tarpon up to 40 or 50 pounds. We've seen them rolling around in there along with the gar. Bill Howard, one of my fishing buddies over here, actually threw a spook at a tarpon that was rolling into very shallow water and hooked it up and jumped it three times before it was off. So that was pretty entertaining to watch on a short redfish rod. But I'd probably be down there in that water and looking for all four of those species to see what I could scare up. Like I said, the water movement would be the big thing this time of year for me, though.
Awesome. So there you go. If anybody's going to be heading over to the West Coast, if you live in the West Coast, water movement, topwater plugs, jerk baits, stuff like that, you got a number of different species to target. So awesome, man. I appreciate that report. And Alan.
You know what? I will not be fishing this weekend. I am working. So I am out of commission.
Well, if you were to go fishing, what
if
would
I
you
were to go?
Right. If you were
you know
to be
what?
Going.
Yeah. If I was not working and were to be going fishing, I would probably, there is an area in the Banana River that I've been wanting to try. I haven't been there in probably close to 2 years. Not affected by the couple of years of the algae and the black tide or brown tide, but struggling with the grass problem like we're having in some other spots. And I used to do really good there, kind of where I got, you know, I guess I would say started out really big into the kayak thing. And I've been wanting to get back up there just to take a look at it. So, you know, with what's going on in the Indian River up north with the brown tide and the water conditions and stuff like that, I think I'd probably either try some creek stuff or probably some Banana River stuff. You know, the waters, yeah, I'm seeing somebody there saying the water's really low. We noticed too when we were in the no motor zone, and we were talking about what's going on with all, you know, we've had a lot of rain. I think we're above average on rainfall right now, but everywhere I'm hearing and everywhere I've been, the water is like down at least a foot, if not more.
Hey,
the no motor zone. Yeah.
I can tell you one reason why that is. They're purging over at the port. They're allowing some water. They're allowing a little bit of water flow to go come out of the river and go into the ocean. So I don't know if that's being done to help out the dirty water situation. But the other day when we were out there, they had it open for quite a while.
Okay, that's what we thought. We thought maybe they were doing like a drawdown. I know they'll do drawdowns on the Kissimmee chain on the freshwater side. You know, they'll actually draw the water level down to, I think, to try to help with, you know, that, I guess, the lower water level maybe helps some more sunlight get to the grass to help it out, you know, higher salinity. I don't know, but hopefully it's a good thing. But I'd probably try Banana, something like that, just something different if I were going to go.
What would you throw?
Probably, well, you know, the Slayer ain't never fail. I mean, that's about, other than top water this past, you know, yesterday. And I haven't used top water lately because of all the floating grass and stuff like that. But probably, you know, dirty water conditions. I know I've been hearing a lot of people saying, you know, some small live shrimp, stuff like that, gulp, anything with some scent to it, you know, with the water dirtied up, the sight for the fish is kind of tough. So something with some stank on it, you know, gulp, shrimp, piece of ladyfish out of Pepe's boat, maybe probably work pretty good by about now. You know, that, and, you know, Slayers, but, my go-tos, but, you know, other than that, if it keeps going the way it's going with the water, you know, if it gets worse or whatever, it's going to be tough until it starts cleaning up. But, you know, I'm going to keep going, keep trying.
Sweet. If I had a place to go, I mean, if I was going fishing, I don't know that I am, if I'm not, whatever, I'd go back out to the port. If you're looking for something different to do, I'd probably hit Port Canaveral. Make sure, again, you have a 360-degree light if you plan on doing it at night. However, I have heard some tales of a pretty decent flounder bite during the daytime in Port Canaveral, as well as some snook and a few redfish here and there. Mangrove snappers, of course. There's tons of sheephead in the port right now. Be careful when you're inside the port. Make sure you pay attention to where you're at. Again, the rules for Port Canaveral, 25 feet off of all bulkheads, which means everything that is a shoreline. So 25 feet off all the shorelines, 100 feet off of all the tied up docks and everything. Tides and tides at PC. Yeah, make sure that you know what tide you're going to be fishing on. It doesn't really matter, to be honest with you, whether or not you fish the high tide or low tide. It's not like Sebastian, where you have a lot of water moving and it's significant or whatever. These fish will still kind of hang out and feed on both tides. I've never really found one to be any better. So, Wade in the chat room there says twice your kayak length for reference. It's a very good point. Just envision two of your kayaks out in front of you to give you kind of an idea how close you can get. But yeah, mangrove snappers have been good. Flounder again. So like I said, that's probably what I would do. I would fish some live shrimp, which I would pick up from Sunrise Marina, the only bait and tackle store in Port Canaveral that I support, and go back there. And when I say get some shrimp, don't get a dozen shrimp. Don't get two dozen shrimp. Make sure that you have five, six, seven dozen shrimp, because you'll go through them. You'll go through them really, really quick. So here is a big announcement. Let's just see what this is about. Kayakfishingbureau.com. Someone's got to be the guinea pig. What's the big? Just call me. You want to announce something? Call the show. Feel free. We still have a little bit of time. 714-816-4727. I mean, you got more listeners listening to the podcast and listening to the. It's a virus. Listening to the apps. Which, by the way, if you're listening to the show via your computer or you're sitting later on down the road, you're going to listen to it off of iTunes. We have apps. They're free. Go to iTunes App Store. Look up Kayak Fishing Radio. Free. Go to your Google products. Look up your App Store there, and free. So there you go. You can follow us anytime you want. And just so you know, too, we're working on a couple of things for the app, where we're going to have streaming fishing reports and things like that. That'll be running pretty much like 24/7. So it'll be good. But yeah, kind of just got off track there for a second. My bad. Let's see. Oh, back to my rigs. Yes, I would use shrimp. I would hook those shrimp with a 2-0 live bait hook from Owner or Gamagatsu. Mustad hooks work well too. I would tie that to a 20-pound monofilament leader. If the mangrove snappers start getting really, really finicky, I'd probably switch to fluoro. But 20-pound usually is pretty good. If you're fishing with your light river combos, your 10-pound type braided combos, I always just double up my braided line. I use a bimini twist to double up my braided line and tie uni. It's all good. It works that way. And then you have no swivels, no nothing. Clip a small split shot on and call her good. But that's pretty much it. Pretty easy. And with that, did anybody figure out what Drew's got going on?
I clicked on it. Looks like maybe he's going to get some charter stuff going on, maybe down in the Vero Beach area, down where he's at. Oh, looks like he called in.
Let's see. Kayak Fishing Radio.
Yo, it's Rob.
Rob DeVore.
What's happening?
Rob DeVore.
I was just listening because I couldn't be strapped to my computer anymore.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I just called to listen so I could actually.
Well, hang on a second there, Snapper. You just got back in town from. Are you back in town or are you up north?
No, I'm home.
Okay, you just got back in town from the epic bass fishing trip, which is a little different for you. You guys went all over the Southeast, huh?
Yeah, we were in South Carolina. I think we were in North Carolina and Georgia and Alabama for a week. It was
pretty
awesome.
We had a good time. And dude, I gotta tell you, man. Again, not blowing your head up or nothing, but your video and editing skills are getting better and better and better. Everything that you've put out, man, has just continuously gotten better. The little trailer that you just put out was awesome, man.
Well, thanks, man. I practice a lot, so I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't spend so much time doing it, and I hope I get a little bit better at it.
I guess you're right. Whatever. All right. Cool.
Well, thank you, man.
Absolutely, man. It's cool stuff. And I'm sure once Mike gets back, what's he doing? Is he filming up there while he's up there?
Yeah. He's filming some stuff up there. And then this weekend I'm going to Melbourne, and we might wrap up shooting everything for his movie. So I'm telling you, man, it's keeping me busy.
Nothing wrong with that, brother. Nothing wrong with that at all.
I know. Then it's really gonna get. Then it's really gonna get crazy. So, it's all right, man. It's all good. That's what we do it for, man.
Sweet, awesome. Well, man, I'm a fan. I like watching it. So keep it up. It's awesome.
Thanks, man.
So that's it, folks. Pretty much. I mean, I think I'm pretty much done. Alan, you got anything else?
No, that's about it. I'm good.
Cool. Yeah. So with that, as always, I'd like to thank some of our sponsors. For me, I'd like to thank Hobie Kayaks, Orca Coolers, Bending Branches Paddles, Tackle Webs, of course. So Captain Mike Ortego, you heard from Steve Chapman there in the chat room a little while ago, if you guys were following the chat room. He is one part of the Three Amigos from Fishing Florida Radio. Great show. Can't miss it. From 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning every Saturday. You can tune in on 740 The Game, or you can also pick it up at iHeartRadio. There's several different radio stations on the AM dial that you can pick it up to from here in Florida on terrestrial radio. Best way to listen to it's either iHeartRadio or their actual website. They stream it live there, so don't miss an episode, man. It's a lot of fun. And I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Eagle Nest Outfitters, Ego Nets, and I think that's it. Oh, dang, Slayer Inc. My bad, Chris. Alan, who do you want to thank, man?
Jackson Kayaks, Kayaks by Bow, Red Zone Apparel, Bending Branches, Temple Fork Outfitters, Slayer Inc., and Harry Goods Outdoor Shop.
Like a professional. Nice.
That's it. I got it written down.
Oh, and it is Small Business Week. It is Small Local Business Week officially, so do me a favor and go and visit your local businesses. Show them a little bit of support. They're the ones that are going to give you the customer service that you're striving to look for whenever you're out there in the buying market. You know, you want to make sure that whenever you're talking to the folks behind the counter, that if you should have a problem, that they're going to be able to take care of you. So Harry Goods Outdoor Shop down in Melbourne, one of the best shops in Brevard County. Kayaks by Bow up here in Titusville. We try to do the same thing. And, you know, like I say, just take care of the ones that take care of you all year round. Who else? Oh, dang, look it up. Dude, you know what? I totally forgot about Lenny. Black Dog Custom Rods. If you're in the market for a custom rod, check out Black Dog Custom Rods. And Yak Gear? Dude, I'm not sponsored by Yak Gear, but I'll give them another plug. Thank you very much for Mark coming on the show tonight, listening to, for those of you that were listening to the show, Mark gave us a code, coupon code, for 20% off your order at Yak Gear. It's 20% off your order at Yak Gear. Coupon code is Redfish. And so check out yak-gear.com. There you go. And with that, I'm out. Everybody take it easy. Have a safe week. Don't forget to tune into our other shows. Tomorrow night is the Double L Show, followed by the Low Sodium Show, and, of course, the Godfather himself, Chip Gibson, and Boondoggle. Get your Boondoggle on with us up in Perdido Key at Big Lagoon State Park.
Is that your mama?
In October. That's your mama. Rob. Love it. And that's it. Take it easy. God bless. Be safe. Take kids fishing. See ya.
Night.